Thank you, everybody, and welcome again to another awesome episode of the Lyme Boss Podcast. I'm Heather Gray, aka the Lyme Boss. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and certified energetic practitioner. And today we've got special guest Dr. Patterson joining us. I met her last year at the first annual Lyme Bites convention in Connecticut, and I'm excited. I get to actually co-MC this one this year. Are you going to be there this year?
Yes, I will be there this year.
Sweet. So I'll give you a hug in real life. It's going to be awesome.
Exactly.
But she's got a book out called Women in Lyme. And I, you know, I'm bummed that I actually didn't get a chance to like meet you, talk to you more last year, but I've been following you on social media and just loving the stuff that you're putting out there. And so I chased you down. I was like, I have to have you on the podcast. So thank God she said yes, everybody. Let's give Dr. Patterson a warm welcome. Yay. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Also, as you know, my area of focus is Lyme disease. I'm a licensed naturopathic physician, been practicing about 15 years I'm based now at Fairfield Family Health in Connecticut, which we know is Lyme central. But one thing people don't know is that Lyme disease is everywhere throughout the country. So we do see people throughout the country for that. I'm also very involved in leadership efforts in my profession as a naturopathic physician, past president of the American Association for Naturopathic Physicians, also Forbes contributor and Amazon bestseller times three. So the most recent book I put out was on women and Lyme. And the reason I really wanted to focus on that was because a lot of the patients I see obviously are women, but perimenopause, menopause. And what I would see was there were a lot of challenges with flares or Herxheimer reactions, et cetera, actually, as it pertains to their cycle. So
before we get to that part, let's back it up. I okay. want to know, I love your enthusiasm. Let's go back to the beginning, right? Like most people, especially those working in Lyme, because it's mm-hmm. such a complex, complicated conversation, right? Yes. Why Lyme? And how did you get into being a naturopathic practitioner?
Oh, yes, rewinding. So naturopathic medicine was something that always called me for a long time. I was interested in integrative medicine as a kid, trying all these experiments and things that my little brother got to enjoy. And so I was interested at that time in it, didn't know the best route to go, because at that time, there wasn't really anybody that was known except for Dr. Andrew Weil. So I was actually going to go the conventional route. I had a lot of family members that were conventionally trained, but I had that interest, actually went to Cornell undergrad as a plant science major and was going to go through the conventional track. But then when I found out there wasn't really any place for me to practice integrative medicine, I didn't understand how I would fit into that world. So worked for a few years, learned about naturopathic medicine. And when I saw it, I'm like, this is exactly what I was meant to do. I just didn't know what it was called. So the big tenets are getting to the underlying cause of disease. Also during that path, my mother got really sick. She had autoimmune conditions, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera. And I became really disillusioned at the time with the conventional medicine route and like how we're looking at people as whole people instead of like fragments. So that was kind of also inspired my interest. And then towards the end of naturopathic school, I started coming down with a lot of symptoms of fatigue, physical pain, brain fog, hyperhidrosis, which was excessive sweating, especially on one side of my body, and anxiety. And at that time, I have the same story my patients have where you're just like, oh, you're just anxious. This is in your head, et cetera. And so I could just fall asleep anywhere. I was tired all the time. And they went, obviously, the rheumatologic route of rheumatologists a couple of times, PCP, everything. Nothing really came back. I did have a positive ANA, but there's also a genetic factor with that, with my mother and aunts having it. And so later, when I started working with patients that had Lyme disease, which I found, you know, Lyme disease, I'm like, wait a second, these are a lot of the things like I have, or I'm experiencing, or I've had. And so went tested and was positive for multiple infections, Lyme disease, Bartonella, and Babesia. And so I had classic, especially Babesia signs of like the sweating, the insomnia, the hot flash, you know, hot flashes at nighttime, and also shortness of breath. And so I came to really doing a lot of self-care, working on myself, obviously nutrients and herbs, but it actually came upon from my experience working with patients and seeing, and learning, you know, I knew about it, but not really kind of connecting it directly to myself and my symptoms at that time. So
how long do you think that you had Lyme and Babesia and all that stuff before you finally diagnosed yourself?
Probably, I'd say it was at least probably about three or four years before I actually was aware. Yeah, about 3 or 4 years. And we have patients, you know, all over the place, which you see with Lyme disease, that may have gotten it since they were a kid, or they've been having the symptoms for 20 years. Most people with Lyme disease, you know, see 7 to 9 doctors at least. You know, I have some patients, just had someone the other day that said 18 doctors before they got diagnosed. So I'm very typically falling within what was normal for individuals to get actually diagnosed.
But you being in the hotbed, right, in Connecticut, you guys would think that that would be like on everybody's radar so fast. And it's still shocking to me that even as a naturopathic, you know, person, practitioner, mm-hmm. that still took you 3 or 4 years to get that diagnosis. Like, that's
exactly right. And then also, I think us as women too, and as one of the reasons that kind of motivated me to write the book, women will, and also especially women with kids, will just tend to, oh, it's because I didn't sleep enough. I'm stressed because of my kids. I'm this, and I was in school. Yeah, exactly. Brain fog. It's my hormones. I was in school, so I was stressed. So maybe it was because I was burnt out. So we have a way of kind of writing these things off for a period of time, thinking it's a different reason too. So
absolutely. And that's horrible. And so I love the fact that your book, you know, Women in Lyme, and you've actually tied this, because women are more susceptible to autoimmune. They're actually mm-hmm. usually the more susceptible to Lyme. Like, it's mm-hmm. there's an obvious connection, but it's just not something, especially Western medicine, has talked about. Like, it's, women have been dismissed for so long of just mm-hmm. it's hormones, it's stress, it's babies, and it's a no wonder that women have gotten so sick right now. Yes. We're collecting multiple autoimmune issues, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. not just one. We're collecting them like trading
multiple these days. Exactly.
It's crazy, right?
Exactly. And then there's tons of studies that show even women's perception of pain gets written off at a much higher level, that the pain, like, meter, you know, especially if you're a woman of color, but women in general too, the understanding and perception of pain is also not understood. And they've also shown even the serological tests for Lyme disease, as we know already, there's a lot of false negatives, but it's even worse for women. They tend to not show as many bands present, even though they have a lot of a male is much more likely to show even in tests and blood work, serological findings, than women. And we already know there's an issue with it even showing in the first place. So
good grief. All right. Well, this is a perfect place to pause for a slight commercial before we dive deeper into Women in Lyme. And why is that, you know, that it shows up more for men on the bands than women? Like, what's this connection, and what can we do about it? And let's talk about your book. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
All-in-one wellness for Lyme sufferers. Nikki Plus Lyme is designed to overcome Lyme symptoms and support a better life following recovery. Nikki Plus Lyme offers the most advanced bioenergetic science in an attractive watch size wearable. Lyme is the fastest growing vector-borne disease in the world, with over 500,000 cases diagnosed each year in North America alone. Nikki brings non-invasive, drug-free, and doctor-endorsed frequency technology to the symptoms of this debilitating chronic disease that defies traditional approaches to recovery. Nikki puts a personal wellness center in your hands and on your wrist. Be better. Do better. WeAreNikki.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you to Dr. Patterson about telling us, you know, how she got started in naturopathic medicine, how she was undiagnosed Lyme, Babesia, and a couple other co-infections for 3 to 4 years. And now we're going to be jumping into, you know, the differences on why, you know, she wrote a book on women and Lyme, you know, why not just Lyme in general?
Yes. Yeah, so the reason was, I saw a lot of overlap: Lyme disease, autoimmune conditions. Autoimmune conditions is another area of focus for our practice. And there are tons of studies on the relation with infections and autoimmunity. So in fact, most autoimmune conditions will carry 2 or 3 chronic infections. So it could be things like Lyme disease. It could be things like EBV, especially if it's reactivated, mycoplasma, tons of different infections. And so there's definitely a corollary where I would find some of the women as well that would have autoimmune conditions that oftentimes would come like after a pregnancy, which again, hormonal connection, during perimenopause and menopause. If you look at the rates of autoimmune conditions, the diagnoses are typically older, like 45 to 50, around that change. And so there's definitely a connection to it. But what I also found was that many of my people that had autoimmune conditions like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis had never been worked up for these different infections like Lyme disease. And so we would work that up. let's say, find it's positive and treat the infection, and you'd find the actual autoimmune, those titers, the antibodies would go down. In fact, I've had some where like there's no antibodies that show. I remember one, there was a young person I saw at Hashimoto's, her antibodies were at 500. She was only like 14 years old, treated her for Lyme, holy which hadn't cow. Been worked up. Yeah. Yeah.
At that age. Wow.
Which is really high. So anything above, I think 9 or 10 is considered positive.
Yeah.
So, and depending on which antibodies, some are 30. So 500 significant. Treated her for Lyme disease. And after basically about a series of 6 months, her numbers went down below 100. So it shows that infection or any kind of inflammation can trigger up other autoantibodies in your body. And there's many different mechanisms. There's 3 different mechanisms that are really studied. One is called molecular mimicry. One is called bystander activation. And the other is something called epitope spreading. So when we're looking at all the viruses and everything since, obviously, especially since 2020, you know, there, what I would start seeing was these dormant infections, even Lyme disease, people that I hadn't worked with for a year or two, they'd come in, they got sick, and then their antibodies would go up. So there's definitely an overlap, and I like to look at it. But one of the biggest things I would see is there was a change, like after someone had a baby, you know, or after they're going through these like hormonal changes, and you'll see this flare up of symptoms. And so that's where I really saw, I started kind of studying the hormonal connection, like testosterone, like progesterone, and how, for example, those two help, and actually all your hormones, there's different receptors for immune receptors, right? In terms of how your body responds to things. But things like progesterone and testosterone are very anti-inflammatory in nature. And so as you think, as we get older, those are the same hormones that go down. And so those things that were protecting us before are no longer there to protect us. And it's one of the reasons why they also suspect that men are less likely to have autoimmune conditions, because obviously they have higher levels of testosterone, and testosterone is very protective in nature. And also another common thing I would see when I see males, because about 30-40% of our patient population are males, that a lot of young males we had have really low testosterone. I'm sure you're seeing that too, where their numbers are the numbers, you know, in their 20s or 30s that you should have when you're like 70 years old. Right. And again, someone that's having chronic infections, the testosterone will be lower. And that's going to affect things like your energy and stamina. So I found that helping to regulate that over time, or checking that as part of the care, helped to really keep them, like keep people stable, especially women, in the long run, when that was also equally addressed.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So why is it, so we'll go back to what you were talking about a little bit before. Why is it that even on testing that men will have a tendency to show the positive nature of the bands over women?
There's not, that's a good question because in the studies I had seen, there weren't any clear specific reasons why, like serologically, it shows more for men, just that men were more likely to actually show in serological testing, and women would tend to have like 4 bands, like 1 band less. Should look more into exactly why, but, I do know also it could be when we're talking about hormones like testosterone, if it's more anti-inflammatory, your body might be also having a more overt response and actually responding appropriately. So it can show, because sometimes with Lyme disease too, there's what's called direct testing and indirect testing. And so sometimes you have to do the direct testing, which is actually seeing the activity of it, like in the blood itself versus like the antibodies. And for some people, you have to do direct testing because they just don't produce enough antibodies that are going to show in the testing. And that is more likely to happen, you'll see, with someone with an autoimmune condition or are on other medications and things like that, which tend to happen more commonly in women. So that could possibly also be why.
Absolutely crazy. It's just mind-blowing that, mm-hmm. you know, just the natural aging part leaves us actually more susceptible, right, to some of these autoimmune and mm-hmm. other infections because of lowering our protective anti-inflammatory hormones. Like that's
exactly.
That's just mind-blowing.
And then also women that are menstruating, another thing that doesn't get also talked about, we release what's called prostaglandin. So prostaglandins are needed for many different things in our body, relaxing, like gastrointestinal system in terms of like the uterus, et cetera. But it actually is involved with the sloughing of like, you know, for actual menstrual cycle, where you're going to actually release to allow for that occurs during the menstrual cycle. And so what you do is you release a lot of prostaglandins, and prostaglandins are actually really high in something called interleukin 6, which is an inflammatory marker. And so that's why you'll see a lot of women that'll have like a Herxheimer reaction, or if they have an autoimmune condition, a flare several days prior to also getting their menstrual cycle. And you'll see a woman say, oh, I feel so much better once I have my cycle. Or they feel better within that time frame, but they feel horrible like the week leading up to it. So typically someone like that, we're looking at like, what do we do to decrease that inflammation? Obviously also, what do we do to balance out their hormones? But that to me is always a prime time for women that are menstruating to like to actually address, because that could, especially if someone is like, my symptoms keep coming and going, like I have 2 weeks, I'm great. And then 2 weeks I'm bad. And I'm sure you've heard that from individuals. And so when you're hearing that like cyclicalness to it, that's when you definitely want to consider, you know, what is the hormonal component to that?
Absolutely crazy. So we're running a little, you know, close on time here. What are some like general tips, you know, that you can give out to the audience right now of, you know, dealing with, if you're a woman dealing with Lyme, yes, or getting the correct diagnosis or the autoimmune, like what are some nuggets you want to drop?
Yes. Yeah. So just make sure whoever you're seeing, definitely go to a Lyme literate doctor, but sometimes what we're talking about, like women's health or even autoimmune conditions, isn't always fully worked up, because unfortunately, sometimes we go down the rabbit hole of like everything is Lyme, which it could definitely be attributable, you know, it could be attributable to every symptom, but then sometimes you could have these other misses. So like I've seen a patient that had, for example, through the roof markers for autoimmune conditions, but no one ever worked it up, but she was getting treated for Lyme for like 15 years, but everyone just kept retesting Lyme. So I guess what I'm trying to say is make sure you advocate that everything is being getting checked, your inflammatory markers, your a full rheumatological panel, including like, you know, ANA, anticardiolipin antibodies, especially if a woman wants to get pregnant, I'm checking anticardiolipin antibodies because there's more risks for miscarriages and things like that. Rheumatoid factor, not just the ANA. Lots of times just that one thing gets checked. It might get checked in the first time and doesn't get rechecked again unless you ask. So that to advocate, and then also checking the hormones, because that oftentimes gets dismissed of like not being important or not being relevant. So you definitely want to make sure estrogen, progesterone, something called DHEAS and testosterone. And then also I typically will look at, there's also specialty tests that are out there that check for what's called the metabolites of the hormones. And so I do that too, to see how well they're kind of processing both estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone in the system, as well as cortisol. Yeah, like the Dutch, yes. The Dutch test, yeah. So Dutch is great. And it's always, I always tell people it's like a trifecta. So you want to look at the adrenals, endocrine system, and then the hormones. But the first thing I would say, anybody that does have Lyme disease, that's male or female, actually applies to all, just making sure that all of those pieces, the adrenals are looked at, the thyroid is always usually checked. That's always like the first thing that's checked. But I think lots of times we forget to look into the hormones as a factor into that.
So what she's saying, folks, right? Take this to the bank. You can't just focus on treatment when you're dealing with Lyme disease, right? Or really anything else out there. And that is that's the problem I find that this industry, especially most people, they'll hear me talk. And then at the end go, okay, what did you do to treat? I'm like, you missed the whole point. And I think that's why I fell in love with all the speakers at Lyme Bites so much, because every single one of you brought home how important it was to look at all these other aspects other than treatment. So thank you for bringing that in.
Yes. and it could be easy to get missed, especially if you've been a person that's had Lyme for years, because you just become, you know, I think it becomes, some of these things could potentially get overlooked, not intentionally. So, but especially if it's been a long time versus like you're early in the diagnosis within a few years.
Absolutely. That's why I became an FDN, because just focusing on treatment was killing me. Nobody was paying attention to my hormones or my detox pathways or the other three autoimmune diseases that I had, or the fact that I was 100 pounds overweight. Like, you know, nobody else was focusing on that. And it wasn't until I dialed that stuff in that the Lyme disease, I was able to conquer and overcome the Lyme.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys are all, we're all talking the same thing on the top of the same mountain. And
that's all the same language.
That's why I was like, I have to have you on.
So you're exactly the prototype of what I was talking about.
Exactly. That's why I do what I do. I feel like every doctor needs a functional coach, right? Because you guys are busy doing the doctor thing, right? Like, hand over the lifestyle and the nitty-gritty details to someone like myself. Like, it's such a beautiful combo. Mm-hmm. But I'm still even having a hard time sometimes getting practitioners to realize the benefit of working with a coach. It's like, no, put me in. Like,
mm-hmm. That is really important, especially keeping, because there's so many questions, especially as you're going through this process and you're new into the process, that you really need someone to help partner even more close, like regular engagement, so that you can really stay on track and keep on track. Sometimes it's not just about initially feeling better. It's like, okay, how do I stay better forever? You know, how has this become a long time journey of a lifestyle change?
Absolutely. Cause you're asking people to change their lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. Part of what kind of got them in trouble to begin with, you know, mm-hmm. so it's a learning curve, and I just love it. So this is the shameless plug area of the time. So what do you got working on right now? I know you said you have 3 books. What was the last one that you had out?
Yeah. So the last one, was Women in Lyme. So it's on Amazon. So you could definitely check that out. Also have a website called womaninlyme.com. I'm going to be doing a little bit more on that in terms of some things that'll be coming out in the next several months. So definitely to go onto the website, you can opt in so you get alerted. Also feel free to follow me. I'm pretty active I have multiple Instagram accounts, but the one I'm most active is at naturopathic, naturopathic.physician. So that's a great way to connect in with me there. So thank you for this great conversation, much needed. And the only other thing I want to say was, don't keep waiting if you don't feel well. Cause I even have that with people I haven't seen in a while that have been feeling great. And they're like, wow, I've been feeling crummy for 6 months. Why didn't I come back in to test, you know, to see what's going on? And so just, you know, always make sure you're advocating for your own health and also taking care of your, you know, because we tend to worry about others and other things begin to slide slowly before it's to the point of feeling horrible. So try to catch that early on.
Amen, sister. And if you guys are in the Connecticut area, you know, make sure to join us November, you know, at Lyme Bites, hear Dr. Pattison speak in person. So yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun, and I look forward to seeing you in November. And everybody else, make sure you like and share and subscribe, because that is how all this, you know, alternative information gets out there, right? Is by you folks, you know. So if you picked up even one little nugget, make sure that you're sending this information out to your friends and your families, and everybody else, make sure to have a healthy day. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share this episode. Even if you found one little piece of inspiring nugget in it, this is how we change people's lives. This is how people get better. This is how people get hope. So please make sure that you are liking, sharing, and subscribing. Stay tuned for the next episode. You're not going to want to miss it. And while you're at it, head to my website, thelimeboss.com, and make sure you download your free video series, Real Cooking for Real Life. Learn amazing, delicious meals in 20 minutes or less. Learn why and how we cook certain things that are toxin-free, free of contaminants, and how to get a delicious, healthy meal under 20 minutes. You're not going to want to miss out. That's thelimeboss.com.